KQED.
From KQED Public Radio, this is the California Report. Good morning, I'm Catherine Barron. Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger's proposed state budget would spend too much money on new programs and would take the state in the wrong direction. That's the assessment of Elizabeth Hill, the state's nonpartisan legislative analyst. On Thursday, Hill released her initial analysis of the spending plan and said it relies too much on a one-time windfall in revenues.
The unexpected revenue increases noted in the governor's plan are not being used to reduce our past borrowing debt, but instead we're ratcheting up ongoing spending by about $2 billion.
Hill says her analysis suggests the governor's budget, while being balanced, would result in state government facing a deficit of as much as $6 billion by the summer of 2007. The days of buying a cold one at a Cal State football, basketball, or baseball game are ending. University officials ordered all 23 CSU campuses to stop selling alcohol at school-sponsored athletic events. From KPCC, Adolfo Guzman-Lopez reports.
In a written statement, Cal State Chancellor Charles Reed said the ban is meant to promote a safe and healthy learning environment. The move comes as Cal State is putting more resources into curbing student drinking. Some beer sales are still occurring at a few sporting events. Cal State officials say those vendor contracts won't be renewed when they expire. The alcohol ban at games does not affect the bars operating at most Cal State schools, nor does it prohibit drinking alcoholic beverages on or near campus. Alcohol sales at sporting events are a significant source of income at some campuses, and the schools will be forced to come up with other ways to make money. A Cal State Fullerton official predicts the ban will hurt attendance at some of its athletic events, including the school's popular baseball games. For the California Report, I'm Adolfo Guzman-Lopez in Los Angeles.
A star falls to Earth this weekend, or more precisely, stardust. A NASA space capsule returns from 7 years in interstellar space on a mission to collect comet particles and stardust. When the capsule crosses the Earth's atmosphere, scientists from the Ames Research Center in Mountain View will be speeding nearby in a DC-8 gathering information. South Bay Bureau Chief Peter John Schuler boarded the DC-8 for a practice flight and has this report.
Michael Wilson?
Here.
James?
Preparations for the flight begin 3 hours before takeoff. First, we get safety instructions, then a pre-flight roll call.
Peter Schuler?
Yes.
Tonight's objective, testing how the sensitive instruments installed in the DC-8 will operate in flight. At 39,000 feet, the motion of flight, interference from the electronics, even frost on the windows can ruin an experiment that works fine on the ground. For a civilian, getting aboard the DC-8 in itself is a surreal experience. Inside, experiment stations are set up at intervals the entire length of the cabin with large open workspaces. Cameras and other sensors are mounted at windows outfitted with 3/4-inch optical glass to give a crystal-clear view of the night sky. Racks are loaded with computers and other scientific gear. All electronics power down for takeoff. Carry-ons are tied down. We buckle lap belts and shoulder straps. The landing gear leaves the tarmac at the precise moment of the scheduled departure time. Earlier in the day, principal investigator Peter Jennings with SETI told reporters that scientists can learn about natural meteors by observing the re-entry of the Stardust capsule.
We know when it's coming, we know exactly at what time, and that's fantastic about it. If it's at nighttime, it's in the weekends, good, excellent conditions to go and try and see an artificial meteor. Won't happen again until 2010.
Finally, at cruising altitude, researchers set up their experiments. Sensitive equipment has been stowed in padded crates for takeoff, so this shakedown cruise tests whether researchers can get everything up and running in time. About a dozen institutions from around the world have come together to view this singular moment in the night sky.
We're setting up our camera now. Setting up the near-infrared spectrometer.
Mike Taylor with Utah State University is installing infrared cameras to feed video into recording decks.
Well, isn't it? Three cameras here and three tape recorders with timing. So we practice setting this up now, see if we can get on the air quite quickly. A lot of cables to put together, but we've practiced it quite a few times now.
At another station, a camera will record high-speed video at up to 1,000 frames a second. Other instruments will capture the heat, radiation, and chemical changes that occur when the capsule slams into the Earth's atmosphere faster than any human-made object ever before. at 8 miles a second. Presently, a countdown to the DC-8's rendezvous with the Iridium satellite crackles over the plane's intercom.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Okay, there's your mark.
For a few moments, the roar of the jet is punctuated with exclamations from researchers.
All right. Sounds like we got a few successful captures on that one.
After a few more turns around the course, the plane heads back. Yennixens expresses a bit of superstition about the night's activities.
How did it go today?
It went extremely well. Many of the instruments we set up tonight, just to check how they functioned in the aircraft environment, worked just fine. That normally makes me very nervous because you know how it is. If the first time when you try something it works perfect, then when it really has to work, it will fail. But what can I say? It worked.
The Stardust capsule is scheduled to flare across the Nevada sky in the early morning hours this Sunday before parachuting down to a landing on the Utah Salt Flats. Yennixens and his team will be on the DC-8, hoping to catch that capsule's every move. For the California Report, I'm Peter John Schuller.
That's the California Report for Friday, January 13th, a production of KQED Public Radio. Our engineer is Howard Gelman with additional engineering from Danny Bringer, Paul Ancor, Seal Muller, and Tom Krimkowski. Rory Gallagher and Jason Marsh directed the show this week. The editor is Kat Snow. Victoria Mauleon, Erica Kelly, and Stacey Bond produced the show this week. Ingrid Becker is the senior producer. The managing editor is Susan Kennedy. Our executive producer is Raul Ramirez. I'm Catherine Barron. This is the California Report.
Funds for the California Report are provided by the California Endowment for coverage of healthcare in California, Charitable Auto Resources, a full-service vehicle donation program management firm which helps nonprofit organizations increase their revenue, online at charitableautoresources.com. And the Stewart Foundation for coverage of important issues in public education.